July 21st, 2009, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Look at this figure of a man on horseback. His turban with gold thread striking a gallant pose, asking, "Where is death? Show me." He seems powerful, but he's a fake. Death attacks from six sides. Hello, jackass. Where's your famous magnetism now? Where's your temperament? The jokes you told, the carpets you gave relatives. It's not enough to spend your life turning bread into dung. We are pawing through manure to find pearls. There are people with the light of God on them. Serve those. Don't trivialize any suffering. I say this to myself. I am that mounted man, his illusion. How long shall I keep pointing to others? Shams of Tabriz is a fountain. We wash in the water of his eyes.
Watt from Pedro Show. Special one. Have we ever done one here?
No.
Yeah, this is the first time ever. I mean, we're in Pedro, but we're not at Brother Matt's I Love Grotto. We're not at Watt's Pad. We're at Miss Talia's Pad.
On Black Hill.
On Black Hill in Pedro. Probably a lot of Pedro people don't even know these parts. Kind of may be driven by because the freeway's right by. Mm-hmm. And the road from the Vincent Thomas Bridge, but coming from Long Beach, or turn around. But I don't think they've driven around here a lot. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing Focus on Sanity, which is my slogan of the show. And then we heard Coleman Barks reading some of Rumi, a poem called Mounted Man. Rumi was a Sufi poet from around 700 years ago and what lived in a place what's now known as Afghanistan. And he wrote very beautiful poems. Sufis was kind of mystic spirit people. And amazing stuff. And Coleman Barks, something about his voice. And there's also a little bit of music behind. I gotta thank Captain Please for flowing this to me. Yeah, the music's kind of Gaelic. It's also weird mix, but this is what I believe, in my opinion, arts are for, is blended cultures and experiences and stuff. And fighting against a tendency that want to inbreed. Right? Now, I'll tell you, how long have you been here? Talia hasn't been in Black Hill her whole Pedro life.
I think I've been here about 5 years.
5 years now.
Yeah.
Because you used to be by the Love Grotto on the Pleasure
right,
Point.
12 years over there.
12 years. Right near, like...
Right down
maybe
the block.
Maybe one or two blocks.
One block,
yeah.
Closer to the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, a whole different climate in this part mm-hmm. than the south part of Pedro. North part of Pedro, maybe a little warmer.
It's hot over here. I have two air conditioners going right now.
Yeah, so if you hear that sound, there's also, to balance that, we have birds.
amongst other animals.
You know, today, amongst other ones, but they're a little more quiet. Mr. Peabody is,
he's cool.
He wanted to be part of the scene, but now he's sauntered off. And there's two, Gatitos? Yeah, and they're just loving each other. Look at that. Cleaning and playing. Wow. Looks like one's older than the other, or is one a runt?
I don't know. One's older than the other.
One is older, yeah. But they're still both pretty young.
Yeah.
Look at that.
One of them is only 8 weeks old.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The other really one's like a year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so much younger. But, you know, the year one is taking care of her. Wow.
I don't know. I think I need to keep an eye on them still.
Yeah, but still, yeah, I know.
Sometimes I get a little one crying.
Yeah, because the...
They're getting a little too aggressive.
The nails come out. Now, you used to have a gato that somebody pulled the nails out of. It was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
No, I know you did. I know you did. You got... Well, actually, you thought it was a boy.
I did.
Turned out to be it was the Tommy cat.
And that happened to me again. The mother of the kittens thought it was a boy.
And then all of a sudden there was babies.
Yeah, like, I'm really bad at knowing that.
Gender. Some birds are hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Nanny told me that. You know, the ones that a lot of birds. Yeah, the male's more outrageous and flamboyant, so it's easy. In fact, you get that turkey picture I float?
Yeah.
Is that intense?
That is an intense looking
one. That's all to attract the lady. It's so bizarre.
Very colorful.
And they can change with their emotions. Oh. The blue and the reds and the whites and that red wattle thing and the bumps. That is a trippy.
Yeah.
And he was puffing his feathers out around me, big brown and white. Beautiful. The Indians, native peoples use those things for their bond. Of course, mm-hmm. Eagle is for, you know, the throne and stuff, but like a little down, further down the pyramid, they used the turkey feathers. And they would do them like that, the way, the fan and the tail.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. And he was puffing them all out and walking around me, like, you know.
Wasn't that the original national bird?
That's what Franklin wanted to use.
Yeah.
But those kind, the one that I flowed the shot, those are the kind we chow in there. They're from Europe kind mix.
Oh, they're different.
And yeah, the U.S. one is a wild one, and not so round, more tall, and actually pretty strong. And I saw two wild ones once I was on tour. Came out of the woods. It actually was in New Jersey near Lambertville, where Bob Lee is from, Black Gang drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they were huge, big, strong. There's three wild. All right. And much different. They're like on the bottle, on the wild turkey bottle. You'll see those.
Mm-hmm.
Not look, these, you know, they got domesticated more for chowing and.
They're like.
These other guys, big, strong, hardy, you know, big fighting bird.
Still and, wild.
And also, there was a lot of eagles used in Europe crests. And so Franklin thought, although the bald eagle is pretty impressive,
mm-hmm.
very impressive animal. It's used on, and that's why it's on a lot of the Europe crest. So we thought, hey, why don't we use something distinctive, you know, like the American turkey, but it got voted down.
Okay, so they have turkeys in Europe also?
Yeah, but different breed. Maybe it got brought back over. Maybe it's
originally
just,
from
I gotta look that up, because I hate spreading ignorant stuff. But I know Franklin did want to make it our bird. And they're trippy creatures. But the point was, like, it's easy to tell some birds with the flamboyant males. Like a cardinal, bright red, the man, and the woman more plain to hide in the...
Hummingbird.
To hide the nests.
Left to
now, but all birds aren't like that. Some birds, like crows, same.
Aren't the males usually bigger?
I don't think so. I know with the eagle, the woman can be bigger than the man.
Oh.
Yeah, with the bald eagle, not flamboyant. Both same, white hood.
Exactly the same.
Beautiful, yeah. Big yellow beak. I had one fly over me, man. We were driving. And I hollered to the dudes. But they looked out the window too. I was driving, of course, I have to work. One came up over, man. It was, oh my God. They're intense. Right over. I mean, you know, it was trippy. In the distance, there was little ones around, little birds, not eagles, but around this guy. He was so much bigger. And as it got closer, it was like, oh, man, I go eagle. And my dudes woke up, Raul and Tom, you know, came right over. I mean, massive. I saw another one. Actually, it was the third time. I saw once all the time in the boat. Only one time wasn't so romantic. It was, I came around the corner and it was eating roadkill.
Oh.
Yeah, because they do that too. They're not. Well, they're not like hawks that they have to be living. I think they kind of the turkey vulture thing.
I guess the good thing about roadkill provides food for a while.
Yeah, but it must be all poisoned after getting run over. They tried poisoning turkey vultures, strychnine, and not even a pound of it could do it. These guys, they built up immunities. Because they just hover around freeways and they wail on these, you know, what gets hit. These animals, like deers and stuff, they've been running on these trails for thousands and thousands of years. They don't understand roads.
Right.
You know, so it's hard for them. Difficult thing. Delicate balances, nature.
Yeah.
Like we got a bird now, the cormorant.
Uh-huh.
Call it ooh over there. The Asia bird. And no balance. And it's kind of...
They
call it invasive species. But it came over here. You've seen them. They're down there by Royal Palms in the harbor. They don't really have an enemy. You know, no balance. In Asia, they put rings around their necks and used to fish with them. So they couldn't swallow the fish. They had a little string on.
Oh. Yeah,
old days. It was trippy. I was on tour a year and a half ago in Japan. Went to Gifu Prefecture. Ikosan's town is Gifu Prefecture. Sort of what we call a state. And their symbol on the big sign was a cormorant sunning. You know how they sun their wings?
Yeah.
I said, I know that bird. Then stopped at the gas station, they had chow pads, and the windows were stuffed ones.
I saved one once.
Really?
I was walking down Cabrillo Beach, yeah. And there was one sitting, and he had a hook hanging out of his claw. I guess it's called a claw. And I could tell he was just miserable, and I just instinctively went to him and just put my arms around him and held him.
And he didn't go off?
He didn't try to get away. He didn't freak out. And I walked over to the Cabrillo Beach Museum, and I found a lady who said she'd take him up to the bird sanctuary.
The bird, by the seal.
But it was amazing how that
There's a lot of seals at that mammal rescue, marine mammal. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Nanny had a horrible story about a cormorant. This one was being nursed, and they put it in a box. And there was a little hole in the box. That's what Nanny told me, okay? And the lady looked into the box, and the bird went wild and poked her eye out into her skull and killed her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Something...
That's my God.
It was trapped in the box and feeling freaked out, and she went and looked in there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, let's play some music.
country awakened to danger and called to defend freedom.
God and country!
America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world. The resolve of our great nation is being tested. Make no mistake. We will show the world that we will pass this test. This enemy attack is not just our people, but all freedom-loving people everywhere in the world. The United States of America will use all the resources to conquer this enemy. We'll rally the world. And God bless America. We will rally the world. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States.
Watt from Pedro show. We played some homebrew there, some local music, in fact, from our host here, Talia, who is the brains and beauty behind Sola Musica. And we heard Fond of You. Then we heard Skyscrapers by Terroristas, America by Sonic Noise Terrace, and then something new from Sonic Youth up their, what's that album called? The Eternal. And that song was anti-orgasm. Okay, political statement, I think. Now, what about that proj?
Fond of You?
Yeah. Because Sola Music is umbrella name Talia uses for all her music.
Yeah.
But the pieces are like their own projects, right?
Right, right. This particular project, Fond of You, was a result of my frustration out of not having a drummer and wanting to make beats.
Yeah.
So I just went through my iTunes collection of songs and pieced sounds from different songs that I found.
Appropriated.
Yes. And including some of my own, some that I've written,
and
that friends have done, or actually some, I have no idea who they were. There was no name to the song, so it was just the number. So I pieced it together, and that's the result.
And once you got the beats, you layered up the stuff on it.
Yeah. And
wow.
A lot of fun. A little frustrating, but fun, and I'm surprised.
Well, maybe you could vent.
Vent?
Yeah, vent some of the frustration by creating.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's like therapy.
Therapy. Now, what about this,
Terroristas?
Yeah.
It's funny that you found that.
Yeah.
I haven't told anyone about that project. But it's like a little secret band I have. It's me playing bass, a friend playing the drums, another friend playing the guitar, and I want to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
And
anonymous friends.
They're anonymous friends, and they are anonymous musicians, and they just got together with me to play music, and we recorded a bunch of songs, and that's...
I had no idea.
Yeah, but Skyscrapers, that actually is just me on my keyboard, just layering sounds of keyboard. That's just me.
You were gonna play. We were gonna play another song.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Is it a work in progress still?
It's
too early.
Yeah, I've decided it's not finished yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Next time.
Even had the flash drive in the machine, but then the plug was pulled. That's okay. Doing it, remember when we did a little pit, we had to go to a studio.
Yeah.
We had to practice a song, get it all together.
Yeah.
Now, with this new technology, don't even have to leave the pad.
I know.
Yeah.
I've literally written songs while lying in bed.
Wow.
Half asleep.
And you can share with people without having to even be in the same room or town or anything.
You don't have to leave the house.
You don't have to leave the house.
Unless you want to do live shows, unless you do them from your home, I guess.
Yeah. It's still challenging to be original and stuff. The tools you have to take on that challenge now may be more open than the older days. That was 10 years ago, right, when we did that, right?
Yes. A little more than that.
A little more? You know, I was yet today, the Peck men are on 15th, the old... Yeah. George Peck lived in it. I mean,
it's
a bunch of different... Pat Raoul lives there. His buddy Kevin. They play in Killer Dreamer, but they also have made this Cali Mucho studio in there.
Mm.
And they've been recording 10 different put together bands to redo these Reactionary songs. There was a practice tape of the Reactionaries, only recording the Reactionaries, which was the band that went on to become, well, three of the members became the Minutemen. And there was a practice tape with 10 tunes. And they got a hold of this. Well, it's up on corndogs.org. And Craig Ibarra got this idea, let's have some people involved with Pedro C nowadays do versions of these songs.
Oh, wow.
And
that's great.
Randomly put the bands together. They picked names out of a hat or something. I got picked to play bass on 1979. That's when this stuff was really done. And there was a song called that. I mean, the reactionaries. Reactionaries was D. Boone, George Hurley, Martin Tamborovich, and myself. And Sunday, I went over and played bass. Dirk Vandenberg on drums, and Kevin Carl was on the guitar. Actually, Jacob, Adam Gaxfield's brother.
Yeah.
Never ran the machine. He was running the machine. Had some surveys. One of the versions got erased.
Oh.
It was okay though. No. Well, it's an old TAC 8-track machine with tape, you know, and the counter's not accurate, and
okay.
You didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
In fact, the song I also got chosen to be sing one of the songs. So I'm a bass on 1979, and then I'm a singing on this song called Video Madonna. Now, I wrote the music to all 10 of these, and I wrote words to 7 of them. Now, these are the first songs I wrote one song as a teenager.
How old were you when you
were? I was 20 years old with Reactionaries. And this is 31 years ago. And it's the first. I wrote one song as a teenager called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. And then I tried writing songs with the punk thing. You know, these guys were doing it, so I tried. D. Boone did too, but he wouldn't show them to the Reactionaries. He's saying. But, these are terrible.
Movie.
My songs are terrible. I mean, you have to start with something, you know. The words, I read these, and the music, oh my God. Because we were, you know, we would learn it off records and going to arena rock gigs, and then we see these punk bands in Hollywood, we want to kind of play like them, so not very original at all. Trying to sound like the Bags or. I don't know. We're trying. Plugs are a big thing. There are a lot of good bands up there, and they were very inspiring. But we weren't brave enough to try our own sound yet. This stuff doesn't sound like Minutemen. And one of the songs, the song I sang today, was Video Madonna. Now, this is 5-6 years before Madonna's on the scene. I was thinking of Madonna like Mary, yeah, and praying to a shrine like the television's a shrine. But I know no one can hear that now without thinking of Madonna. She's huge in everybody's mind. But I had nobody knew, you know, we didn't know. Kay turned me on to Madonna, you know, maybe 84. So I knew about her about 5 years after I wrote this. But I can imagine what people are thinking. And it's some corny-ass words anyway. But it's nice. Vince LaFarga sang with me. He played the guitar.
Oh, cool.
I think the bass was Killer Dreamer bass guy, Tony. And the drummer is Raul.
Nice.
Yeah, I think those are the musicians on it. Yeah, it's neat them giving tribute to the Reactionaries.
I can't wait to hear this. This is
going
to be good.
And them also learning how to record and stuff. It's very much spirit. I think the Minutemen would be proud of being part of. At that time, God, there was. Although the guy who came in to sing Sunday to sing 1979, the one I play bass on, was Jack Brewer, who was from them days. He's Wilmington, but Saccharine Trust goes back with. I think Joe Bice is on a song with George Hurley. Innuendo. I just didn't know how to. I mean, I still write some corny songs. But man, they were really bad these days.
Well, somebody likes them, obviously.
Well, yeah, these guys are very kind. And like I said, it kind of goes back. It's a connection to the older days when there was hardly any scene.
Right.
God, there was. Nowadays, you know, but their scene's been going 10 years at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Early 90s, yeah, maybe 15 years.
Yeah, maybe more,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
I mean,
so in a way, they're like
from
old.
High school.
Yeah, so maybe they're old timers.
Yeah.
Were they playing in high school?
Yeah, Craig Avar played at
no
my comprende. 16-year-old birthday party as a punk band.
With Vinnie Vegas?
Yeah.
I think he's on one of the songs.
He's wearing
a little
thong.
Elephant thing. He played bass, yeah, almost naked. Okay, and that's maybe late 80s.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm bad at remembering.
So they're almost old-timers.
Yeah, they are. I think they're, well, they're the second generation.
Yeah, right.
And then there's this third generation. Killdreamer, I think, is like the third
generation. Yeah, they're like third. And those are like people moving to Pedro.
Yeah.
Like Kevin's actually from Anaheim.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have come here.
Which is interesting.
It's a great town. It's a special place.
Yeah, yeah. And so, this, I think the album's called 1979. You know, the Clash had a song called 1977, so of course it was. We put the band together in 1978, in the fall, or winter. The end of the year was coming around soon, and so you know, let's write what about 1979. Just, I don't know. Like I said, not. You have to start some baby steps or something. It's so embarrassing when I hear this stuff. And in the playing, too, but didn't know. I remember my bass, I spray-painted Pedro on it.
Cool.
Because a lot of people up at the Hollywood scene, they didn't really know about Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a lot about their towns. You know, nobody. The way L.A. is so spread out and stuff, it's not really that together. I don't know if people realize that. They fly over, it looks like one big town, but we're really all divided up,
really
balkanized into these little things. And
especially us here in San Pedro.
Most Pedro guys don't know.
Completely separated from everything.
Whittier or El Monte or even Hermosa or something.
Yeah.
Or La Mita, even though that's next door. We really don't know what's going on there. TV.
There's nothing going on in La Mita.
Sheriffs. But so I spray painted Pedro on my bass, and yeah, people thought my name was Pedro. I didn't think of that. Like, you know what? People not from this town say probably San Pedro or San Pedro. You know, they don't say Pedro. So they don't know what you're fucking, it's like Big Mike or something. But yeah, my name was not Pedro. Yeah. Nice name. Peter, first pope, of course, but he's also patron fisherman, patron saint for fishermen. Mm. Yeah, I think that might have been
what
he was doing when Jesus found him. He might have been fishing. I know some were doctors, some were a tax man, but some were fishermen.
We have like three churches in this area called St. Peter's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the town.
Right.
So, you know.
It's fisherman town.
Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the connection and all that, but St. Pete. I had a song, the only song I wrote for Crimony. You know about that band? I had it with Paul Rossler. It was just piano and bass.
When was this?
It was in the late 80s. We made an 8-song record and a single. And the only song, it was all Paul's songs, except one I wrote for us called St. Pete. And he wrote these crazy words to it. Good words. And I wrote this very drama music. Yeah. I wish you'd play that sometime.
Yeah,
maybe I have. You never heard it.
I don't think so.
Raymond did the cover.
I don't think I've heard or seen it. What's it called again?
Crimony. Crimony.
No, I haven't.
I took him on tour, too, with Firehose. There was this one tour, Firehose, it wasn't the whole tour, but a leg of the tour, where Crimony was opening up because GC3 was with us. And Des and Paul had a band together. And then also Dose came out. So except for DC3, I never got off the stage. It's like, yeah, now you can play with me. Now you can play with me. It was like so weird now I think back.
Did I show you this?
That people were... Harvard College. Oh, yeah, see how...
Firehose playing Harvard
College. Yeah, 91. Okay, but we actually, I played here before that as Minutemen in 1980, the second gig. This is where Frank Tonchi ran away. First two Minutemen gigs was with George Hurley.
Oh.
Yeah, it was with the welder named Frank Tonchi. And at this gig, it's not this gig, but
he
this pad, which was above the bookstore, he ran away and left his drums. I never saw him again for years till later, till Firehose days. He told me, you know, I shouldn't have stayed in the band. It was a total freak out, yeah.
He ran away.
I don't know, he said punk was too weird and shit. And he painted his drums. I later saw them drums with Rob Hanley. In the Darby Crash Band, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how he got it. We're at the end of the first hour, though, so... July 21st, 2009, Watt for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. July 21st, 2009, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
violent, so we're making stuff up on the moment. help me out a little bit here.
That's what we're doing.
Uno más? You guys game for another one?
No, I'm always in this break.
from Pedro show. Many little kittens here. Three little two-month-olds, all orange and white. Here in Tati's pad, her buddy Sarah came by to and brought her baby, two-year-old. So I'm back in here with the kitties, though. Look, they're doing the scratches. Yeah, Mama's out here. She doesn't see you doing that, huh? And then there's a one-year-old. She was grooming one of them. She was very adorable. I love cats. I had a cat for 14 years. When he was young, I called him boy. When he got older, I called him the man. And he was the greatest. Y'all see him on all my tour shirts. He, big part of my life. And he died of brain cancer 10 years ago now. And I never had the heart to get another cat to share my pad with me. But, like I said, he's on the tour shirts. I think of him all the time. He was always there for me. Man, he was a great cat. Something else. Oh, you can also hear some birds. Teddy's got some parakeets. In fact, in the backyard, while the music was playing, I saw she's got two ducks. Kind of a little zoo here, a little animal collective. And the ducks, it's a pair. And one of them's got kind of a fro, the feathers on the head went to like kind of a plume. I should tell you the music we started the second hour off with was first one there was Breakfast Choices by Department of Real Estate, and then we heard Perilous Night, First Movement, that's a John Cage composition done by Tiffany Lynn, and then we heard something live from an October 2nd, 2008 gig, the fourth piece of a concert. Motoko Honda, Joe Berardi, and Emily Hay. Now, all three of these pieces of music are kind of related because in a couple hours I'm going to go up to Echo Park and see Keel Griffin, who was in Department of Real Estate, Tiffany Lynn, and Motoko Honda. All three of them are performing together some kind of a piece called Pillow. Supposed to be music for people who can't sleep or something. Oh no. Choke on a improviser. Well, all these people are. That always makes interesting music. Go to the gigs. I never know what to expect. Last week before, I was playing on a Missing Man gig for a Surfrider benefit and. Saw a trippy. I don't know all the musicians. Emily Hay was with her. But some cat was playing something called a war guitar, a guy named Kai. And it was sort of like Chapman Stick, where you didn't strum, you know, both hands tap, almost like keyboard. It had a bunch of strings, 10 or 12 strings. It had like bass ones and treble ones. And yeah, it was incredible. And there was a guy playing. Laptop with the samples too. Hey, Mr. Peabody. Yeah, there's a dog too. So a lot of animals here. So I don't know what this gig's going to be like, but I just can imagine. The idea of improvised music, I mean, I do some of that stuff and it's very difficult for me. I've done a lot of it with Perkins and Nels and Banyan. In fact, this Thursday I'm flying up to play a benefit with Devin Hoff, who's the bass player for Nels Client Singers. And I'm gonna use one of Devin's. Now Devin's a stand-up bass player, but he's got electric bass too. So I'm just gonna play his bass and do this gig. And it's scary. It's by the seat of the pants. Come home Friday morning, and then Friday night I play with my missing man downtown. And then Saturday I fly to New York City. There's a celebration for the 25th anniversary of Double Nickels on the Dime. Now, I was going to go on the 27th, but they invited me to be part of this thing. So I read some of my lyrics I wrote for the Minutemen for that album and play some songs, solo bass. And there's a bunch of people there going to be celebrating this, probably the best record I ever played on. And then, but the reason I was going to go anyway, because we're going to play some music next by these people that I'm going to first record with and then do a gig in Central Park. Nels Klein, Yuka Honda, Dougie Bound. And it's kind of scary. We've never played together. But we're going to get up the music for the gig, and why not make a record out of it? I wrote them four songs on the bass, which is kind of like a... Yeah, when you write a song on the bass, there's at least a lot of room for the other people. So they'll bring their thing to it. And I played a gig with the Stooges in New York City last summer. And Shuka came to the gig and we had chow before. And talking about Nels, and it tripped me out that she didn't know a lot about his music, but he knew a lot about, well, it shouldn't trip me out because he knows a lot about a lot of people's musics. So I told her, Shuka, if you really want to know Nels, and you know, she has a band called If By Yes with Petra Hayden. Mm. And Petra goes way back with Nels. In fact, first time I saw Nels, he was playing Charlie Hayden, her father, Charlie Hayden Liberation Orchestra. Mm. Yeah, he's playing Spanish guitar, acoustic guitar. It's the first time I saw Nels Klein play. Blew me away. And ever since then, you know, I asked him right at that gig if he would open up a fire hose gig. I wanted it solo, Spanish guitar. So it's great. And the K's.
Wow.
So she had things in common. Oops. Microphone fell down a little bit. And some these things in common, but yeah, of course, not actually played. I mean, she didn't know. Mm-hmm. So this came up. Matt Ward asked us to be on this gig with him. And the city puts on these gigs in Central Park. And wow, there's opportunity. And I'm getting more and more brave enough to try. Why not make a record? You got to do these things. You got to get the music up anyway for the gig. Dougie's got a little studio. He's played with all kinds of cats. He played with Iggy for a while. And a lot in common with Nels. But of course, Nels knew about Dougie. Nels is so intense. And part of it's his generous nature, his humble nature. Yeah. He's curious about other musics. Mm-hmm. He's not all tripped out on himself. So he's got a new solo record called Coward. And we'll play something from Yuka's, one of her solo albums, and then something from Dougie. And then something from his friend of Jeff Farina. Jeff Farina had this band called Karate, East Coast guy. I can't remember his current band, but he knew this lady who did a cover of a Minuteman song on cello.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll play that too.
You have that?
We're going to play it.
Nice.
Off from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. We just heard political song from Michael Jackson to sing by Helen Money. And then we heard Carla Tampered by Dougie Bound. And The Divine Home Girl before that from Nels Klein. And Night Diving by Yuka Hanna before that. Starting it off. I don't know, what do you think of improvised music?
I love it. I mean, sometimes it can be a little too much. But it's really neat to be a part of it, like when you're an audience or...
What about making it? Because I saw... Actually, the first time I saw you make music was with a band called Linus.
Yeah, and it was improvised.
It was.
It's a lot of fun.
It was here in Pedro.
I love it.
did that band ever record?
Never.
I
think someone might have recorded in the audience.
But a gig?
Yeah.
You guys never went to the studio?
Never.
Do you regret that?
I don't know. There's something special about the way it exists now.
Just in memory.
Because it was improvised. It was,
yeah. How did that band come apart? Not come apart.
Come to be.
Come about, that's it.
Jerry started the band.
Jerry Trepetich is drummer,
yeah.
Man, and he in fact plays in my second band.
Yeah.
First started playing with him in Adonibies.
If I have the story right, I think he created the band for me because I really wanted a band. So he...
Oh, really?
He got these guys together. I think there was one band. I've had two bands with him. And I can't remember which one it was, but basically it was mostly just for fun. I think it was a reason for us all to get together and just make
Who was
music.
In that band? Are
oh
they Pedro people?
All
right?
Pedro people. Oh my god, you're going to test me with names. I'm the worst person with names.
Well, you remember Jerry Trevitich.
Yeah, and there was Mike and Joe. Linus was so much fun.
Yeah.
We just made it up as we went along.
Yeah.
It's
Were
funky.
You ever scared?
I don't think so. I think I was just having fun.
Yeah.
It was an adventure. Like, what am I going to think of today?
Yeah, right. Did you ever worry about choking or that coming up with anything?
I didn't care. I choked. I didn't care that I did. Like,
I mean, because...
I was with
that's
friends.
That's one of my fears.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I guess because I know I'm going to choke. I
really?
Just don't even worry about it. I just have fun.
I know. I try to keep... Because that'll make you choke even worse, thinking you're going to choke.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about when you choke, nobody knows it. Nobody can notice but you.
But in improvised music?
Yeah. Yeah, especially improvised music. I have to admit, I am afraid of playing live now. Back then,
yeah.
When I was younger, I was fearless. But now that I'm older, I am afraid of choking, you know? But I haven't had a live show in years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm being honest there. Like I
Yeah. But you want to do music, but you were more like laboratory.
I want to do live shows.
Oh, really?
I plan on doing them. I just don't have a set together yet.
Okay.
And at the moment, it's just me, so...
Right.
I'd like there to be more than just me. But I'm willing to just play by myself, too. I just don't really have a set together.
What, like a laptop with your sounds?
I don't want to use a laptop.
Okay.
I have a keyboard and a bass.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go buy some kind of pedal where I can sample sounds.
Oh, yeah.
And make layers.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a live show.
Petra does that. Nels does that.
Yeah. A lot of bands do that. And I figured, why not?
Who do I see? El May. It's Laura. She did that with her singing. She sang into it and then sing over herself and
then
do a guitar lick.
Exactly. So I can do bass, keyboard, and my voice.
And she had a gig. It was just her.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked people to bring their mas.
Their what? Their moms?
Yeah, so I brought my ma to Hollywood. I think I was the only one, though. I was the oldest, and then my ma was there. Like, we were the two oldest people. Come on, this ma. And we were right there watching, and her machine failed.
What, the sampler?
Yeah, it failed, so kind of a problem, but she couldn't do exactly what she planned, so she just used...
She improvised. Yeah. I think it takes skill to improvise. To be an artist and to be able to go on with the show, even though the machine isn't working. I want to be able to do that. That's why I don't want to use a laptop. I don't want to...
Well, she's done side mouths for the bands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you give her songs, we play songs, she's learned that.
Mm.
So when it comes to her own music, some people that can't, I'm not being told what to do, I don't know what to do.
Mm.
Amazing musicians are like that. You don't put music in front of them, they don't know what to play.
Or just
they get stuck in one kind of doing music. The best thing is to do different roles.
Thank you.
So even though she does side mouse role, when it comes to her own music, I think that's what helped her.
Mm.
In some ways. Some ways they let that role just take over their whole music experience, and when they're not in that role, panic. It's interesting how I think everybody, if they're honest, has their own personal take on music. Not everyone does it the same. Not everyone reacts the same. And that's what makes it kind of special and neat. It brings out individuality.
Mm-hmm.
But that also goes for how you react to situation. Some people are just, they're good showbiz. You know, the show goes on, they make, you know, lemons,
right.
Clams, whatever. They make lemonade. They don't panic and freak out and run away.
Right.
I remember there's this gig. It was some jam thing, no songs. And I thought it was going so bad, I could see my truck from the front door of this club. It was the Alligator Lounge in West L.A. And I ran right from, I haven't done that much, but I did here. I ran right from the stage to the truck and drove back to Pedro.
After the show or during
the
show?
No, during the gig.
Really?
I thought it was a bunch of noise and we were abusing the crowd.
Which band was this?
It was no band. It was like some put-together jam thing.
Wow.
And it seemed like nobody was listening, and it might have been me just being insecure. And oops, mic fell again. We're trying to prop the mic on pillows here. So I don't know. I can't blame them guys. It might have been me just freaking out, and I ran.
Wow.
Another time, I remember it was with a couple times I've had to run off to take pisses.
During
the
show.
So embarrassing, yeah. In the middle of a song.
You'd think you'd go before the show.
Yeah, or whatever.
Is it a nervous
thing? I mean, sometimes I piss myself on stage. I've shit my pants a couple times.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, one time was in... One time was in New York City at Wetlands. And I hope this ain't disgusting or anything, but Jimbo, my friend, we had a barbecue, and I just wasn't used to it, man. The first song, and I had to do that whole gig. It ran right down my leg, and there was so much mota being smoked at this pad that no one could tell. I couldn't believe it.
Man,
I thought for sure. I was so fucking... Another time, it wasn't a full pant shit. It was just blowing it out. It was too intense. Of a note, I saw Murph from the Dinosaur Drummer. We were playing in Western Mass, Northampton, or whatever it's called. Iron Horse. That's right. And he comes in the door, and I go, I saw him, hey, Murph! And when I said Murph, like I wasn't focusing on keeping things tight. And I was like, oh my God. And it was a Blue Oyster Cult song. I was hitting an intense note at the same time. And so after the song, I told the people, I'm sorry, but I shit myself. And some kid goes, hey, Mike. Or maybe not a kid, maybe a man. Or a younger man. He said, I shit myself too, Mike. But I think he thought I was just like an expression, figure of speech. Okay, we're at the end of hour two. July 21, 2009, I had bought for Pedro Show Old Tech for hour three. July 21st, 2009, it's the third hour of the Watch from Pedro Show, and here's part 7 of Jack Flanders in the White Castle.
Only a certified nutcase would find some out-of-the-way island to build a white elephant like this. Claudine, I don't understand what you and Jack were expecting to find here.
There are places on the planet where the energy is considered sacred.
Ah, come on. There's nothing you can call sacred around here.
Well, I was led to believe that that's what we would find.
Why is this important to you?
It's what we do.
Are you writing a book?
Well, in a sense, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, we are mapping out places in the world that are special.
For what purpose?
Well, to save them, if we can.
We? Who's this we?
Those who care.
What did you conclude about this place?
Well, it's very confusing.
It certainly is that.
There are too many electronics to take any accurate readings.
You got instruments to read the stuff you're talking about?
Yes.
Jack knows about this?
Well, of course.
So that's what you two have been up to.
Who are the people that want to know this?
We just want to protect what we still have.
What are you, spiritual environmentalists?
Is Sanford White one of them?
Well, that's why I came here.
Man, this is the kookiest case of castle fixation I've ever heard of.
Can this knowledge be misused?
Well, everything has its dark side.
That's for sure. Look at religion. Oy vey.
Hi, Zippo.
Dominique.
Don't worry. No questions.
Okay.
These robots take a lot of looking after.
Not really. They're very stable.
Seems as though you're constantly working on them.
I'm just retrieving their data.
Your data? Oh. I'm going for a swim. Do you... I guess you're busy. See you later.
So, here's where everyone's been hiding.
Welcome to the Amazon.
Yeah. Well, am I the only one who didn't encounter a demon last night?
Jack, I wouldn't act so smug if I were you.
He's unbearable when he's smug.
Well, when you've met as many demons as I have, you've learned to be fleet of foot.
You can't run away from yourself.
Oh, but isn't that what life is all about?
Oh, you are impossible.
Okay. Well, let's just say, I know how to feed my demons.
What does that mean?
Demons?
That's crazy.
That's the exact opposite of what you want to do.
You can't indulge your demons. They'll take over your life.
They'll bite the hand that feeds them.
Well, they often do.
The demons you feed are the demons that survive and thrive.
What do you mean, feed your demons?
I thought you were supposed to starve them.
No, they just get hungrier and hungrier.
What if you have an addiction demon? You're supposed to feed your addiction? There's a way to do it.
Mojo, then tell us, how do you feed a demon?
Okay, first off, you have to pay attention to your demon.
How can you not when they're biting you?
Okay, now settle down. Who got bit?
Yeah, let's see a show of hands.
Hands with teeth marks on them?
Dominique, put your paw down.
It wanted to bite me.
Please, let Mojo speak.
When I say pay attention, I mean don't try to ignore them. They're not going to just go away.
Look, you gotta fight them.
And don't just keep fighting them.
Mojo's right.
You push them out the door, they come in under the door. You stuff something under the door, they come in through the window.
Demons will be demons.
So what can we do?
I was waiting for that. Here's what you do. You put two chairs down, facing each other, real close. You sit in one, and you tell your demon, whether you can see him or not, to sit in the other one. Then you ask him, what do you want from me? What do you need from me?
Wait, let me write this down.
What do you want? What do you need?
And then you ask your demon, how will you feel if you get what you need?
They are needy things, aren't they?
You can bet on that.
But will the demon actually tell you what it wants?
And how can you trust a demon?
Okay, here's the next part. You change places. You sit in his chair, and you become the demon.
Whoa, no way I'm gonna do that.
You're kidding.
No, just listen.
You're saying you become the demon and the demon becomes you?
Isn't that dangerous?
No, I'm not saying the demon becomes you. I'm saying put yourself in its shoes.
Yeah. What Mojo is saying is that if you have an addiction demon, like alcohol, and you ask your demon what it wants, it'll tell you, I want a drink. But that's not what it really wants.
Then what does it want?
This is how you find out. When you put yourself in the demon's shoes, Then you can answer your question.
It sounds simple.
It sounds crazy.
My demon's way too smart to fall for that.
I don't want to become a demon.
Dominique, you're not going to become a demon.
Is there more to this, Mojo?
There's two more steps. Once they're fed, once you give them what they need, they become an ally.
You mean they become your friend?
A happy demon is a good ally.
Really, Mojo?
You ask it, how will you serve me? What pledge will you make to me? How will you protect me? And then you change places again, and you become the demon, and you answer your question.
So even though they're fed, you still can't trust them to give you a straight answer.
Well, don't take this too literally. They usually aren't actually sitting there in front of you.
Well, mine is. Things do seem to manifest themselves in this castle.
They certainly do.
So is that all there is to it, Mojo?
No. The final question you want to ask it, once you've made friends with it, is how do I get a hold of you?
And then you get their cell phone number.
I thought it was time to get rid of it.
No. Make it your ally, remember?
Yeah, so I gotta live with my demons for the rest of my life.
Well, Mojo is saying make friends with it.
I'm gonna tell you something. A couple of years ago, I was in a museum in Naples. There were some frescoes they had removed from Pompeii. They were big wall paintings. Little fat angels or cherubs, and what looked like little satyrs or devils with hooves and horns. And they were wrestling each other. And you could see by the expressions on their faces, the angels and the devils were having a good time.
Did it represent our spiritual and our animal nature constantly battling with each other?
They weren't battling. They were wrestling. For them, it was a sport.
Well, who won?
In one fresco, by the way he was grinning, the little devil was winning. And another one, the angel had a big smile because he had the little devil in the headlock.
Well, you win one, you lose one.
That's the way it goes.
You mean back then it was a sport?
No, I'm afraid the church has taken the sport out of it.
Yeah, now it's always good versus evil.
Sounds like they knew how to play back in the days of Pompeii.
When was Pompeii? It was buried by Mount Vesuvius in 79 A.D.
Yeah, but it goes back to about 6th century B.C.
Well, I agree with Mojo. I think a sense of humor is what's called for here.
I don't see anything funny about demons.
Well, Dominique, sometimes a demon likes a good laugh, too.
Yes, and at whose expense?
So, Mojo, you're saying all I have to do is find out what my demon really wants, feed it, make friends with it, and then it'll protect me?
That's all you have to do.
I'm supposed to believe that?
Don't believe it. Just do it.
This sounds really crazy. I agree.
Mojo, remember back in Bali those sculptures of guardian gods protecting their homes? Well, those guardians look as fierce as any demon. In fact, they look just like demons.
That's because if you want to scare off a bad spirit, you need something equally scary.
So I'm supposed to make friends with my demon?
You created them, Dominique. They're just part of your big, happy family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone, have fun.
Oh, I hate it when he gets so smug.
He may be setting himself up. It ain't over yet. You know, you can't always get what you want.
But if I try sometime,
you just might find
I'll get what I need.
Oh, yeah. Sing it for me now.
You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want.
Just what I need.
Down, ear to ear, then down.
From Pedro Show. Start off the third hour, Jack Flanders in the White Castle, part 7 of 11. Thanks again, Meatball Fulton and ZBS Media. Z is in zebra, B is in beach ball, S is in submarine, www.org, for the website. Support those people. Very creative. 38 years now making these Mayan movies. Much respect to you. Then we heard Back to Ash by Zest of Yore. And then My Swollen America by Agnes Steck. That's Chris. That's a cat who's a painter in Texas. Now, we're going to play some music here. Well, you know, some of my favorite guys in England, Position Normal. But they, these people working with sounds electronically, like such as yourself, such as Position Normal, all kinds of cats. Oh, a lot to this lady, Delia Derbyshire, who worked for the BBC. In fact, ended up composing the theme song to Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And I found out about her through you. Mm-hmm. She's a real pioneer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've talked a little about her on the show before. She, what she does here is she, John Peel was a DJ at BBC. Mm-hmm. And, I got to meet him a couple times. Interesting man. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knew about all kinds of music. He's got a lot of music's played on radio to let people get a chance to hear. But she works with his voice for this piece. We're going to hear after some Position Normal. But, I mean, what's your take on her?
Well, she's inspiring me. The fact that she was fearlessly creating music in the in what was considered a man's world back then, and it still kind of is.
Yeah.
And the way she so eloquently held herself and created her sounds, I'm really inspired by her.
Yeah, Talia says there's some interviews with her on YouTube. She passed away about 5-6 years ago, but there's interviews with her, and she's quite eloquent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she makes it look so easy.
And you know the process. There's no synthesizers yet. There's no samplers. They're cutting tape with razor blades. They're making having to control feedback to get oscillator sounds. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what she did.
She inspires me. She was creating sounds, creating things that no one else had created. And it was a woman. And obviously she made the men uncomfortable because they refused to hire her.
I think some admired her.
Well, yeah, obviously.
The problem is that there's a culture.
The man's world, right. Yeah.
That's the problem.
They couldn't accept a woman
but
as their
But that's what's
woman.
Great about music.
Yeah.
Because through our art, the individual can go, people can let go of these parts of culture that are kind of chains on the mind. Even though there's some parts of culture that really help humans come together, there's other parts that keep us down a little bit. So, liberation through expression and everybody making music in their room. Maybe not from a disciplined thing of a music instrument, but using other ways to make music. I think owes a little debt to this lady here. So let's listen.
Thank you. Monstrous and sweet, preposterously vacuous and simultaneously arrogant, rowdy, musical, illiterate, lover, scruffy,
John Doyle.
Hello, we're making a sort of record for the BBC which features Bridget St. John and Ron Geeson and Sweet Marriage and the Radiophonic Workshop and White Noise, and I was told to try and think of all kinds of profound reasons why we are doing it, but I don't in fact have any reasons, so just listen to it instead. And try and work out your own reasons. And it has been said by very reliable critics that I have the most boring voice in British radio, although Pete Drummond and Mike Raven will contest this very strongly. I have a letter here which says, "Your time in the BBC is claiming the need to economise. I find it monstrous that anyone who could make such preposterously vacuous and simultaneously arrogant pronouncements on rowdy musical literates should be kept on its payroll. Preposterous and scruffy moron." And we have a description of the movie. Is that enough?
In case you were, in case you were, in case you were.
chuckling and sniffing outside was remonstrance. I crouched down real small, looked through the keyhole. In case you heard, in case you heard, in case you heard, in case you heard.
From Pedro Show. Tally, why don't you tell them what we just heard?
We heard Caniston from Position Normal, and then we heard John Peel's Voice by Delia Derbyshire, and then we heard The In Case live by Now.
Yeah, The In Case, that's something they did live in Kyoto a few months ago. They're from England too. Interesting stuff. And I was just saying to tell you what, where we listen to music of. For all the struggle she had to go through, when you see these interviews with her, she's not bitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest thing. Even though you go through struggle, you don't let it sour you.
Yeah.
You don't get. Yeah. You still be optimistic and curious and open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing lady.
Mm-hmm.
Much respect to her. How did you find out about her?
You know, just randomly read an article about her. I think it was like some kind of anniversary of something. I think it was the Doctor Who. I don't know, something.
Is it that thing?
Yeah, I think.
Woo!
Right. And then I started reading about her and discovered.
See, now you don't know. There's all kinds of machines that can make that those sounds. But when she was making that, there was no instruments to make those sounds.
They were creating those sounds.
Wow.
Yeah. Now those sounds come so easy to us.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Easy to take it for granted, but
right.
To think about what it took to create that sound originally.
Yeah, she had nothing to go by.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't already somebody doing it and like, oh, I'll do a variation. No, she was on new ground.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And then so many songs today now
use
incorporate that.
Not aware of her.
Uh-huh.
It's trippy
yeah,
about that.
True.
So check her out. It's D-E-L-I-A. Derbyshire.
Delia
Derbyshire.
What year would you say that was?
Well, the doctor.
40s? 50s? No, 60s.
She started, I think, in the late 50s.
50s, okay.
I think so. Do the Wikipedia search.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information on her. People, she's finally getting acknowledged.
That's wonderful.
You know? Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
She deserves it. But people need to know. Especially women.
Of course, it's empowering. Yeah, yeah. It's great, great thing. Great thing.
I can, you know, it gives me...
I remember when I was a boy and, like, no girls in bands.
Yeah, now there's lots of
none.
Bands.
None. Yeah, it's so trippy how that changed.
It's wonderful.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Here's some other stuff for me. This band is just... These are boys, but they're very cool. Just bass and drummer. And they're called the Nice Sharp Pencils.
Okay.
I want the Beatles.
You're better off dead than to have a woman like you by my side. You can't get with me, you're trying to ignore it. I'll cry in red, you're nearly crucified. I buy your lover with a shopping bag. Stars need a way to keep it clean. Between looks and
For Pedro show. That was Nice Sharp Pencils with Umbrellas. Then, somebody hit your hatch. Then Dead Girl at the Punk Rock Show by the Ottomans. I think they're from Pennsylvania. I remember doing a spiel with them last tour in Lancaster. And, it was called Ground Control, the magazine. Some interesting cats. Really, had a lot of projects going. Then we heard 448 Blues by Chow. I think Chow's from Vancouver, Canada. It's a beautiful town. And then we heard some Live Stooges, Cock in My Pocket. Now, a couple days ago, for 3 days, I got to jam with Scotty Ashton, and that's the first time I got to play with him since September last year. Mm-hmm. For 3 straight days at this Prac Pad in West Hollywood, I got to wail with him, man, just me and Scotty.
That's nice.
Third date, for a little while, Jesse Hughes came. He's got this band called Eagles of Death Metal.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice man. And, my God, getting to play all that with him. Pretty amazing for me.
Yeah.
Again, you know? Mm-hmm. 5.5 years, I do gigs with him, and I just love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad, because the last day was Ronnie's birthday, the 17th.
Wow.
Ronnie's birthday, same day John Coltrane died.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to spend it, though, playing music
yeah.
together.
Yeah. Wow. That's still very strong on me, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played, this band gave me their CD after a gig. They were called the Fuck Hits Combo, and the song's called Fucking Hits. Yeah. Okay. We got some music from Japan. Let's play that.
Thank you.
Congress.
I hate new ones.
You have to break them in. I know my
Okay, why from old. Why from Pedro show? That was So Many Mike by P. Lander Z. And then Cause My Mom Said So by Gelatine. All them people are living in New York, but they're not from there. I'm going there for a week. It's going to be sweaty, tell you. You think you're bad?
Man.
Look, it's been very nice you having me aboard here and me getting to do the show. And what were you saying? You've been on a lot of shows, but not a lot of...
Oh, yeah, this is the most I've ever spoken on your show.
The biggest spiel.
Usually I can hide behind someone else, but today it's just me.
Yeah, but thank you so much. Very
thank
interesting.
You.
And good luck on the new music. Sola Musica. Can't wait for the new things. Everybody, it's July 21st, 2009, Jason Watt from Pedro Show. I'm going to try to do a show in New York City.
Nice.
We'll see who it's with. It's probably some New York people. Maybe. I don't know, but I'll try to do one. And then when I come back to Pedro, of course, another one.
Do one from Central Park.
Yeah. Hey, the gig, yeah. I'll try to do good.
While the
game. Okay, everybody, thanks. Thank you again, Talia, for having me aboard. Thank all your animal friends here, all the residents. Thank you for sharing your space with Mike Watt on Black Hill, San Pedro, California. Keep your powder dry.